Well, I want to thank everybody for being here on this such a busy week of Thanksgiving. We have a lot of people who are still traveling. Some are actually doing Thanksgiving today, but we have a lot more. And it's an unusual time of the year that we have a lot of people who are sick. And I'm going to ask Pastor Rachel to come and pray the prayer of faith. And I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to declare that everyone who doesn't feel well in this place or outside this place that's a part of the community of faith of NEC will be healed immediately. Can you get in agreement for that? Amen.
All right, yeah, let's go ahead and stand. Lord, we just thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your presence here this morning. And we thank you that you are our healer. We thank you that there is nothing that could come against our body that you didn't pay a price for on that cross, King Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, for the faith, the gift of faith that you have given every single one of us to receive that healing. And so, Lord, we just pray right now over every single person, every body that is here and that is not here, that there would be complete and total healing from the top of their head to the tips of their toes right now.
Amen.
And Lord, I specifically lift up Pastor Rochelle to you right now, and I thank you for the strength that is returned to her body, that in her spirit, in her mind, emotionally, and physically, Lord, that she would be healed. And we declare that over every single person that has had to miss here this morning because they are sick. We thank you for Georgia for returning complete and total strength to her body right now, and that her lungs would be filled with your breath.
That's right.
Lord, we thank you that our lungs are filled with your breath here this morning.
Amen.
That Holy Spirit, that you are here, and that we would receive what you have given us in Jesus' name, that it would be for your glory, not for ourselves, God, for your glory, so that your name would be made known and that your kingdom would be expanded here on the earth for what you are doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I also want to thank you for being here in our North Central Texas blizzard we had this morning. All of our northern friends laugh at us, and they should. We think this is a blizzard. They love it. They're running around in shorts and short sleeves, and we're running around like we're freezing to death. So, just, you know, it's what you get used to. Pastor Rochelle is watching us online this morning, and in her behalf, I want to extend her gratitude to everyone who prayed during the season of losing her father. Wasn't just a sudden thing. It's one of those things where we had to watch him pass. And so she is so grateful for your kind words, your prayers, all the plants. Matter of fact, a lot of them are in our home right now, part of our Christmas decorating. The rest, a lot of them went to our children, and we just want to thank you for all of the kind things that you did for Pastor Rochelle and her family during this season. I did the graveside service. I didn't speak at the memorial because my mother-in-law wanted me to actually do the service at the graveside, so shifted to doing that graveside service because there were so many people coming to that we're not going to be able to come to the memorial service because on Wednesday night people were leaving, traveling, getting ready for Thanksgiving, and so there was a large crowd for a graveside service that was there. And one of the things, well, really the primary thing that I spoke about concerning John was his courageous faith. This morning, as the Lord had spoken to me on the day that John passed, on the 16th, I woke that morning early. I went into my prayer area, set in my prayer chair, and I was just sitting quietly before the Lord, asking the Father, how should I pray for the family? How should I pray for Rochelle? And the Holy Spirit didn't speak to me about that. He said, the Father has something to say before that. And so I got very still, and the Holy Spirit said, the Father said on the 26th, you're to go back to the beginning. And at that time, I did not know that I was doing the graveside service. I thought I was going to be speaking for a couple of minutes at the memorial. And in that moment, I knew exactly what the Lord was speaking to me about when he said, go back to the beginning. But it's what I said about John that is important here today. To go back to the beginning and to cover what I'm going to cover this morning before we get into our Christmas series, which is going to be called Christmas Matrix Reloaded, that begins next Sunday. Before we get into that, the Lord wants me to end today where I began at the first of the year. Because it's going to take courageous faith to do what we need to do if we're really going to clean up some things in our lives in 2023 before the end of the year. So the Lord said, go back. And what that means is he wants me to go back and rehearse some things because he needs his church to take it seriously. We're getting to the end of the year, and he's really wanting us to do what he told us to do at the first of the year. Does that make sense? And sometimes it takes courageous faith to do what needs to be done. And I'm not going to rehearse all of what I said about John and why he showed me courageous faith. But to go back to the beginning, it all goes back to we must let go of control. That's where I started the year. First sermon out of the box in the new series about having the amazing right here, right now, would start with, we're going to have to stop trying to control everything. And I'm going to ask you to stand one more time as we honor the Father this morning with the opening passage of Scripture that I am going to read. And don't just let these words fly by you because you've heard them 1,000 times. They're going to be very important to us today. My thoughts, I'm reading from Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 8. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. His thoughts are nothing like our thoughts. We think we got it. We got it. I think one of the biggest things we need to be delivered from is the know-it-all. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. And I got a pretty good imagination. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Father, we thank you for your word of truth. And now, Father, we settle our hearts to receive your word today and to go back to the beginning and make sure we end this year well, doing what you told us to do to clean some things up in 2023. And we give you praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The first quarter of my message is a rehearsing of that first message at the beginning of the year. The title of my message is Back to the Beginning, because that's what God said. Andrew Murray said, just as water ever seeks and fills the lowest place, so the moment God finds you abased and empty, his glory and power flow in. Here's the truth. You need God's glory and power in you. Come on. You need God's glory and power in you. We are fixing to move into an election year, and a lot of things are going to start coming, and you can't stop it. Okay? There's some stuff coming. You can't stop it from coming, but you can react properly to it by having the glory and the power of God in you to respond in the right way and to stand in faith and don't listen to all the garbage because my God says something different, and that's what I'm going to believe. Man, I should have got a bunch of amens out of that. Or do you just receive everything that comes? Most of it's lies. I'll say that again. Most of it's lies. We need to believe the word of the Lord. Okay? We need his glory. We need his power flowing in our lives. Andrew Murray makes it very clear that when God finds us abased and empty, that happens. Now, the King James Dictionary defines abased as reduced to a low state of humbled. I know no better way than to walk a humbled life than to walk a crucified life. And it began with me as it does every morning before I ever get out of bed. Yours may begin at a different time. Before I ever got out of bed this morning, I'm giving God my day. I'm giving Him my agenda. I'm giving Him how smart I think I am and how all this is going to happen and how I'm going to unfold all of this, because I've been doing this for 38 years. Man, I got this down. I give it all to God as I know nothing, you know everything, take control, and I'll just walk with you. Okay, I'm not saying anybody here is not smart, but we tend to try to outsmart God that I can do this better than you can do it. God will use the gifts and talents He's given you to get it accomplished, but let Him use them through you and watch how much better it'll be. I can tell in my day when I'm getting in the way of God. That's our biggest deal. We just need to get out of the way and just be vessels of His glory and His power. Anybody with me? You haven't got it all figured out, but He has. He's got it all figured out. I know no better way to walk a humbled life than to walk a crucified life, and it begins with giving Him your life before you start your day every day. And be serious about it, not just lip service. Well, I did it, and then you go do what you want to do. You've heard me make the comment before. I'm going to make it again. So much of the time, I never get to do what I want to do, but I'm doing what I need to be doing according to God's will. God knows better. He always provides, always does things a little bit different, sometimes a whole lot different than I would have wanted it to be. I didn't really get to do what I wanted to do, but what really happened was really best for me. Can we live in that? It's important that we do. Pin truth from that first series: as Christians, we are to live a life in constant identification with what? The cross. The reason that's up there is until we get it, that when we see that, it's not just decoration or a part of the decor in this place. We see that cross and it gets our attention. I'm to live at the foot of that cross. I'm to live a life in constant remembrance and identification with that cross. Every day, I should be sitting at the foot of that cross until self dies. That was one of the main things God said we had to clean up in 2023, is we're not living in the identification of the cross. We're still trying to make things happen, to do things our own way. Come on. We think without my wisdom and my insight and my way of doing things, it's not going to ever come together. It's the furthest thing from the truth. My God is the most knowledgeable, smartest person in the universe. And we need to live in identification with the cross. Living a crucified life means that I submit my will to His will. That's the crucified life. Are we submitting our will to His will? Well, I don't know what His will is. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. Galatians 2:20, again, still from the first series, rehearsing what I said. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I must live a sacrifice, crucified life. I got to sacrifice my way for His way. I must do it. 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. We must die to self-will. That's why I do what I do every morning. I do it quietly because Rochelle's a light sleeper, but I do it not as a habit, not as a routine, not so I can check it off the list. I do it because I mean it and I know how important it is. And if I miss it, if I just jump out of bed for the wrong reason, like I had to the other morning when I get the phone call that John has fallen and we live next door and jumped out of bed at five-ish somewhere, got dressed real fast, ran over there. I got out of bed and didn't do that. Those things happen, but it doesn't become a habit not to do it. Are you with me? Things happen. I get it. But you don't want to get in a habit of not doing it. Oxford Language Dictionary says self-will is obstinately doing what one wants in spite of the wishes or orders of others. Are we obstinate to the Father? Do we just listen to the Word, listen to the preaching, read some scriptures, and just ignore it and go do what we want to do? His orders are the best orders. You may not understand it all, and some of it may be a little bit scary, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but you need to do it. It's best for you. Pen truth, we must seek God's will continually for our life and crucify self's desire to be in control. We want to control everything. We want to control everything. God says get up at 5. No, I'm going to get up at 7. God says go to church. No, I ain't going to church. I'm in control. And it goes on and on and on. I just picked on some of my favorites. It goes on and on and on. God says one thing, we do the opposite. That's not following His will. Now, we begin the fresh word connected to at the beginning of this year. And I'm going to begin with a quote from one of my favorite people who consistently, his whole ministry, still doing it. He's in heaven. Things he's written are still doing it. They're stepping on my toes regularly. And that's A.W. Tozier. He said, remember, it is one thing to believe the Bible, but something else altogether to allow the Bible through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to impact and change your life. We have got to stop just reviewing the Bible. We got to stop just reading it. We got to stop just giving it some of our time. We need to be living this Bible. We need to be reading it with a heart to study this Bible, because here's the reason why I'm finding that the church is not making this the number one read is because it crucifies our flesh. Why do you want to read something that's going to crucify your flesh? You need to read this and let it destroy your flesh so that you can live in the glory and the power of God in your life. Tozier's right. And somebody out there is just smart enough to know what's coming next from me. You've been hearing it since you met me when we planted the church. What do you value? Now, stop. Just think. What do you value? How much time do you spend with what you value? Come on. You'll make every sacrifice for what you value. You'll sacrifice money. You'll sacrifice your time. You'll even sacrifice your health, if need be, to do what you value the most. When are we going to start putting a premium on the value of His will, not my will? When are we going to start making the sacrifices necessary to have God in control of my life instead of me in control of my life? When are we going to start valuing the cross? When are we going to value the cross to the point I'm going to get out of the way? Now, I'm going to read a verse of Scripture that I haven't read in quite some time from a translation I don't use much anymore. And I know it's not everybody's favorite translation, but I love what it says because it speaks to the reality that if we will live a crucified life, these are the things that happen These are the things that are real about my God. Psalms 19, 7 through 9, I'm going to read from the Message translation. The revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The revelation that I need to live a life at the foot of the cross, a life that is His will, not my will, is the best thing that could ever happen for me. It'll make me whole. The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eyes. They're easy on the eyes, hard on the flesh. God's reputation is 24 karat gold with a lifetime guarantee. The decisions of God are accurate down to the nth degree. But we still do what I want to do when He has proven He's better at it than we are. Well, I got a brain. I can think for myself. Yeah. God gave you a brain. In some cases, He's given you some powerfully cool gifts to use with your brain. But how about laying all of that at the Father's feet and let Him use all that through you? It would go off the chart if you let Him in control. See, we think God's going to take it away from us. No, He's going to make it better. He gave it to you. He'll just expand it. But if you're constantly keeping it away from Him, that won't happen. I need to put that in a book. Here's the bottom line. It boils down to surrender. Surrendering your will to God, to God's will. It's about surrender. And let me tell you this. Before you reject it, surrender is the greatest adventure on this planet. Greatest adventure. Isaac and I, just prior to when I was 63, I want to make a point on that because it's something I did. Isaac and I went camping before he went into the Marines. And I wasn't trying to get him ready for what was happening. You joined the Marines, it wasn't nothing we were going to do. It was going to even compare to what he went through in the Marines. But we went camping for several days. But one of the main things we did, we went zip lining. Now, we didn't just go to any place to zip line. We went to the biggest, largest, fastest place to go do it. As we went up and down a couple of different mountains, I mean, I think we went through, Isaac would probably remember, somewhere around 11 stations or 12 stations that we zip lined. Here's the adventure. But I'm a person who's a learner, and I observe everything that's going on around me. Rochelle says, I see too much. It's just who I am. It's just how God made me. And I started noticing that there were several people within our group that were really pretty expert at this, that were with other people and were going. And what I noticed was they didn't act the expert when we got to the other side. They surrendered their wisdom and knowledge of all of this to the people in charge. Come on. We had one person who was a know-it-all, and that group shut that person down before we got started. They knew better. They could hook it up. But they could, you know, there's always that person. They just can't stand to be submitted. Need to be delivered from that. So I'm watching, observing all of this, and of course, I'm listening. I'm studying the gear. I'm watching what they're doing. And after a couple of times, I could have done it all myself. I could have done all the hooking. I could have done all stuff. But I didn't. I was surrendered to their authority. I put my will under the will of those who knew better than I did. Anybody catching the picture? Now, we're doing all these zip lines, and they told us all these different things we could do. But one of the things was, don't pull the brake. Once we get you hooked in, hit the deal, you go. Don't pull on the brake. We have a block down there that'll stop you. If you pull on the brake, we're going to have to come get you, and everybody's got to wait. And somebody pulled the brake. You had to trust what they said to you. Were we surrendered to their wisdom, or are we going to operate in our wisdom? Come on. All right. I had people around me that had been doing this a long time, and I watched them. They kept their mouth shut, did what they were told, exactly the way they were told to do it, even though they knew how to do it. I'm sitting there the whole time thinking, oh, man, I wish the church was this way. We got to the last one. It's long, goes way over the lake. It's going down steep. It's fast. The guy said, you can, he showed us how to tuck up into a bullet. And he said, if you want to, you can do that. You're going to go really, really fast. You can do it forward or you can do it backwards. And he said, I'll show you. And he goes down backwards. He said, you got to trust the block at the other end that it'll stop you. See, that's when the person pulled on the brake. They didn't trust the stop going down. Well, I'm the only one that turned around backwards at 63. I love an adventure. And I went down through there. Isaac went with me, and he said, man, you just went. Phew. I said, what'd you do? He said, I just enjoyed the scenery. People were asking me, did you see this, see that? I said, you kidding me? Man, I was going fast. I didn't have time to look at anything. But I had to trust the block because I'm going down blind. I had to trust what they told me. I had to submit myself to them and their way of knowing how this was going to work. And as soon as I heard that thing hit that block and make that loud noise, then I rotated and landed and made a 3-point landing. I'm just grinning from ear to ear, and the guy goes, the old dude did it. Do we have that much trust in God? We'll put our trust in a person or a group of people who know what they're doing, but then we turn around and we don't trust God on the same level. And I can't wait to go back and do that again at 65. What if it doesn't stop? Oh, well, it was a fun ride to the bottom. And Rochelle said, you're always getting hurt. The bottom line is it boils down to surrender. Self-surrender from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says the struggle between the natural human impulses of self-seeking or the altruistic impulse towards self-denial. If that was too complicated, Merriam-Webster makes it very simple. To give oneself up into the power of another. When are we going to start doing that? The most powerful person in all the universes is who? The great I am. And we should submit ourselves completely to him, to his power. And if we'll submit ourselves, be abased and humbled, live a crucified life in constant connection to the cross, then my God's power and glory will begin to feel inside me. Are you getting the picture? Penn Truth, the crucified life is a choice. Me first or God first? Which choice will we make? We're ending 2023. If we haven't started doing this yet, we need to get busy doing it. God said at the first of the year, and he was very serious in the series, was that I want this cleaned up in 2023. We need to get this cleaned up because we're going to be facing a 2024 that needs the church to walk in power. Come on. Needs the church to walk in power. We are not moved. I don't care what's going on. I'm not moved. My God will have the last say. Come on. You're getting kind of political, Pastor. Not yet. It's not 2024 yet. I was just going to share with you the things I've learned about what full surrender does and what it looks like. But I decided to give you what I've learned about the true picture of it. And I'm going to have, it's going to be on the screen for you this morning, what full surrender looks like. Following God's lead without knowing where he's sending you. We like our ducks in a row and we want to know. How about just living a life? It doesn't matter whether you know everything. God will get it today. He'll get you there. And he'll show you as you have need to know. No, God, you're going to tell me everything or I'm not going to do anything. And God goes, okay, then I ain't doing anything. And you just have to sit where you're at. Number two, waiting for God's timing without knowing when it will come. In my men's Bible study that I do in Joshua, we've been talking about waiting. The reality is we're always waiting. When one thing comes to an end that we've been waiting on, we're already waiting for something else and maybe two or three other things waiting. You're always waiting. You know what? It takes courageous faith to wait patiently on God. Trust him that when it's time, he will bring it. Being in full surrender. Expecting a miracle without knowing how God will provide it. Number four, trusting God's purposes without understanding the circumstances. We want to think every bad circumstance that is in our lives can't have anything to do with God, when you forget that God's in the middle of everything we face and everything we do. God's in the middle of those circumstances, and he's already working them out. But we mess it up by getting in the way a lot of times and trying to play the Holy Spirit. Whoops. Let's take a scriptural journey for a little while. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross. Follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And I made a little personal note here. Hindrances to hearing God. Fear and dread. We fear that if I'm not involved in it, if I'm not doing this, and if they don't listen to me, then it's not going to happen the way it should. And then when things aren't working out, then we get dread starts taking over, starting to paint a picture of it's getting worse and worse by the moment. Because now we've moved into a level of negativity. And negativity never submits and surrenders to the presence of God. Because it's consumed. That's why we got to watch what comes out of our mouth and what's in our mind and our heart. Remember, guard your heart. Negativity is the worst thing you can do. Remember, my main thing is, well, I got to be the voice of reason. Get rid of it. You need to be the voice of faith. You need to be the voice of the solution. Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Pen truth, crucifying the flesh illustrates the putting to death of our selfish will to put God's will first. Church of America is not the power that it should be because the Church of America is not fully submitted to the will of God. And it's just a fact. I'm ready for a church in America that holds all the powers, holds all the cards. Anybody with me? And it starts with us here at NEC. I told God, I said, if nobody else wants to be accountable, I'll be accountable. If nobody else is going to do this, would you move if I did it? Remember the story in the Bible? Well, if there's one, you know, it started out, you know, there's 100, 10, went down, 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 down. Well, God, if I'm the only one, would you still do it? When are we going to start walking in that type of faith? Well, pastor, it's just easy for you because you're a pastor. Are you kidding me? That'd be like putting me above Jesus. That ain't going to happen. And Jesus Christ, the most perfect thing that ever walked on this planet, said that he was tempted like everybody else. Come on. It's not easy. It's a choice. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I read this verse at John's graveside service to make my point about it takes courageous faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to have me do it anyway. John had to have courageous faith to say, yes, you can marry my daughter. Because I know everything inside of him was screaming, no! That troubled kid with areas of darkness and chaos, and he said yes, took courageous faith. The only negative thing he ever said about me was my hair was too long. But I was attached to my shoulder length hair and it wasn't coming off. So took courageous faith. And I went into some depth about that. You know what? It takes courageous faith to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in what? Part of what you do? In all you do. And He will show you which path to take. He'll take all your smarts and put you on the right path, and it's going to be a fun adventure. It'll have some risk. You'll have to trust that the block's going to stop you. And let me tell you this. I really think the Holy Spirit is tired of having to say, oh, God, you need to wake up their angels. They pulled the brake again. They're stuck out in the middle of the lake. My final statement this morning, why should we surrender our lives to God? In Mark 14, 36, Jesus said, Father, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will, not mine. Wow. That still wrecks me every time I read it. Think about you have the foreknowledge of what you're about to go through. Most of us would quit if we had that kind of knowledge over most of the things we face, even the little things. We just say, well, I'm out of here. What did Jesus say? Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will, not mine. The simple and pure truth is that He is the one who knows what's best for us. He loves us more than anyone else. All the natural blessings of life are in His hand. I'm going to say that again. We need to get this. All the natural blessings of life are in His hand, not ours. We get to thinking we're the source of blessing. No, He's the source of blessing. He loves us more than anyone else. All the natural blessings of life are in His hand. He gave us our bodies, talents, and abilities, and knows how to use them so that they are a blessing to us and those around us. We must surrender everything to Him and put a much higher value on His will, not mine. We have gone back to the beginning because God said so, which tells me that God is very, 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 very serious. To everybody watching me online, everybody in this room, He's very serious about us living a crucified life and getting out of control of everything and let Him be in full control of everything. Because all He wants to do is bless you. Did you know that? He wants you to walk in His power. He wants you to walk in His glory. And He's trying to get across to us what that's going to take. He wants you to walk whole and healed. But if you're just going to accept everything that's going on, instead of believing what God told you, see, that's another place we don't surrender. We don't surrender what He said versus what other people are saying or what I'm feeling. Come on. When are we going to surrender to God's word to us? We all go through this. I go through it. You go through it. It's a choice. And sometimes we trip. Sometimes we stumble. And we don't make the right choice. But we have such a loving Father. He doesn't get out a stick and start whacking us and saying, man, you just keep messing up. No. He reaches down, pulls you up in his arms and holds you and says, I love you. You're going to do this. You're going to get this done. You're going to walk in this. Isn't that an awesome Father? Awesome Father. I don't have anything, the Lord said, special to do at the end of this service. All he told me to say to everybody was, God speaks to me in different ways than he does you. Maybe you have to be spoken to very, very softly. Doesn't do God any good to talk to me very, very softly. He has to be very, very direct with me. He said, just tell everybody it's time to get it cleaned up. I want to pour out my glory and my power into my church. Father, we come to you today. And the first step we need to make is to commit to you that we will not walk out this door and forget what we heard. And when we get up on Monday morning, it's like something that happened a month ago. We're about to move into the Christmas season, Father, with a very special message, a series that Colin will be joining me in and bringing. But right now, that doesn't matter. What matters most right now is a choice that we've got to make, that we're going to surrender ourselves completely to you. And Father, I thank you for Jesus's courageous faith. I thank you for John's courageous faith, or I wouldn't be standing here right now. Father God, we love you so much. And we surrender our lives to you in Jesus' name. Amen.